That's fine. I'm running into a little bit of that too, where now that we've got the hobby space set up,
is where you start.
It's like, okay, well, here's a whole bunch of box pieces, because as you can imagine, we've gone through a whole mess of cardboard.
Yeah.
And moving and getting new things. I'm like, ooh, you know how there's those like long stack, like three dimensional pieces of cardboard that.
Oh yeah, are in between.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. When so you I'm buy like, stuff. Yeah.
So, my tree project, where I want trees in Dead Zone, that are
cubed.
I'm like, these things are like halfway there. I just have to start sticking them together and chopping them into smaller pieces and stuff.
Oh, nice.
So I've got that project.
So over the last month, it's 2 months since we recorded. So there's been a lot going on.
Yeah.
That neither of us were involved in.
Yes.
But there was a lot that we saw.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked that we had the interview with Rob on Overdrive.
Yeah, that was a great interview, wasn't it? Welcome to Dead Zone, the podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
But interviewing Rob and talking about Overdrive, and of course, yeah, I pre-ordered. And yeah. I didn't just get the game.
Yeah.
I did the full bundle. Partly because, prior to it, I was already excited about this game.
Yeah.
Because it seems more on my skill level versus Dreadball. Like, and don't get me wrong, I love Dreadball with you. And speaking of Dreadball, Jeff and Andrew finished their league. Oh my god, did you get to watch any of it?
I got to watch a little bit of it. I didn't actually get a chance to watch the whole through.
In and out, I watched every game.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff that they did, I was like, I didn't even know you could do that. Jeff scored a 4-point bonus in the first pitch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he cheated to do it. He totally fouled. And Andrew didn't call it. And I'm looking at him going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Foul! Foul! And I guess a part of that for me was, hey, I actually know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was super fun to watch. And poor Andrew, he just couldn't.
Yeah, I just couldn't get ahead of that.
The Jude one. So that'll be edited out.
Or will it?
Maybe.
Only the listeners will know.
What's going on? But, like, the Jude one just didn't work for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was really crazy to watch the biggest thing, like, and I think the two of us could do that with Dead Zone.
Mm.
Because I was watching Andrew make his move and turn around, and pretty much before Jeff talked, he was already making his move.
Where Jeff was going to go.
That's nuts. But at the same time, those two have played a lot of Dreadball.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like us with Dead Zone. I mean, I think I could probably figure out most of your moves.
Yeah.
Like putting the Strider up on top.
It's that fun thing where, like, there's, like, legit, you know, Art of War kind of things where you get good enough at a certain point, you know, at the beginning you're able to read your opponents.
Yeah.
Or once you get good enough, you can read your opponents. The next stage is like, you're able to counter your opponents. And then the third one is like, you're able to make your opponent do a move that benefits you.
Yes.
And make them think that it was their idea the whole time.
Yeah. It was really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to see. So I've never seen the Mechanized play.
Mm, me neither.
How they played. And it was really, like, it was kind of cool. Like, I'm, because Jeff and Andrew both released their lists,
mm-hmm.
I think that gives me a basis to make my Mecha Knights.
Yeah.
Which, well, Mecha Knights are daunting, just like the, what's the other one?
The Mutant Team.
The Mutant Team, where you have to assemble them into different things.
Yeah.
That's daunting for somebody that doesn't know what they're doing.
Right, it's, especially because, like, that... That one is a what you see is what you get
yeah.
team, and you've got all these pieces.
How do I do it?
And it's like, if I give this guy this, like you just yeah. understanding those combos can be really
huge,
big to figure out. Like it takes time.
And I think Jeff's is all magnetized. The ones he has at home.
Yeah, probably.
For his mutants, I'm pretty sure they're magnetized.
Yeah. He's crazy good with magnets.
I don't know how we're going to... I mean, okay, so you got a printer now. We can print off dread balls.
We can print off dread balls. I don't know, I'm going to fit a magnet in it.
I don't know how he does it, but it's awesome. But yeah, just the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
The maps,
Magnetar circuit.
The Magnetar circuit, the way the games that they played, and the fact that they ran all of them
mm-hmm.
was awesome. The betting was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, we talked and we played through the one mm-hmm. with the vines.
Yeah.
Which the vines didn't really affect us too much.
Yeah.
It didn't really affect them as much either, but it was enough.
Right.
Enough that it screwed over the Jude one. but when they were doing the betting thing, and that was one that we talked about, is as far as that's perfect for a league. Because,
mm-hmm.
yes, Andrew lost the match, but I think Andrew actually made more money.
Yeah.
He made more money because he bet against himself. Now, I don't know if that was...
Well, when you know your strengths, yeah, you true. Can make your opponent make a move that makes them think they made the right move.
Right? No, it was really awesome that they did that. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Mm.
And their interaction with the people watching, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because... It was much more PG-13 than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Andrew was not as Andrew as I honestly thought, which for us...
Good for you, Andrew.
For our viewers and whatnot, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really important that the younger kids get to experience these games.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that psyched me up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got out... My Flurpo, and it's like, hey, I want to do some Dreadball stuff again. And that's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's why we do what we're doing on the podcast. That's why we have the interview with Rob. That's why we interviewed mm-hmm. both Jeff and Andrew. That's why we remind everybody else. Because it's not that like we need to remind ourselves.
We do from time to time, but it's mostly to
get sucked into other things. Like, oh, yeah.
We, as you start building your Kings of War army, hey, Rick, you want to play Dead Zone? And you're like, well, I'm back over in sci-fi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get a quarter of the way through this. Like, I'm going to get these painted, and it's going to be, hey, Rick.
You want to play some Firefight?
Okay. Where are we going? So, Firefight is definitely next on our list.
Yeah.
Especially with the new rules coming out and the playtesting of them. Because
mm-hmm.
you've done a little solo and I've done a little solo.
Yeah.
And I struggle with... Okay, outside of Dead Zone, I struggle with any rule system by myself. I really do. I need that other person to bounce it off of.
Sure, sure.
And Firefight is definitely one of those because I'm not a huge, large-scale game player.
Right. Yeah, I'm usually in the same boat. I can... usually hash my way through rules and understand them, and even as I'm working through, like, I was teaching myself Armada the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, this is when I can do this. Oh, okay, so you don't do what's the heck, the move and shoot fire bear. What the heck is it? It's like,
I don't remember what it's called, but I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, yeah. Something like bear down as it fires or something like that. Basically, it's a move and shoot as opposed to the move, stop, and then shoot
yeah.
Mechanic. And it didn't click with me initially that there's a downside to it. It's the a minus two penalty on a roll.
Yeah.
With D10s, and so it's a significant modifier.
Pain.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's one of the nice things about Armada is the way the game, it does run smooth.
It has some very simple,
and you nice just picked up mechanics. The two-player starter,
just
right?
The two-player starter. I only did one ship against one ship on about half the size of the map.
Well, so that was the demo set that got sent out.
Yeah.
That I was getting ready to do demos with when we went on our second lockdown. I was like, well,
yeah.
That screwed us. And I feel really bad that they sent me the demo kit and I wasn't able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another game that's fantasy.
And it'd be really sweet if there was a sci-fi
twist. Version. But you know, looking at how Mantic is growing their sci-fi, I'm glad it's not game for game.
Yes, yeah.
So
they're not carbon copies of one another.
Correct. Right? I mean, Vanguard, yes, is built off of Kings of War and Dead Zone.
Yeah.
There's no question about
but it's
the mechanics.
Very much
but it's not Dead Zone. It's not Kings of War.
Yeah, it's very much its own thing.
And then you have, so they brought out Armada for the Kings of War universe, and it fits in perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It fits with the story, it fits with the books that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But then you switch gears and you come over to the Warpath universe. What do we get? We get Overdrive.
Which is a brand new, something different.
And it's not a Kickstarter. And it's going straight to the stores.
Yeah.
And actually, man, we're going to have another interview with Rob about the same time as Overdrive's coming out.
Probably.
Because, well, you got to listen to the interview, but something was dropped.
Yes, if you haven't listened to that little partial episode, definitely check it out. It's not terribly long, but it's a very fun one.
We always have fun.
We always have fun. Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine out.
So, speaking of fun, like, it's a whole bunch of this catch up.
Because right.
Really, it's been 2 months since we recorded.
Yeah. For those that don't remember, that last episode was pre-recorded. So, the month of June was... We didn't get a chance to really talk about what actually happened in the month of June.
No. And I'm trying to think, because there was a lot of play online.
Mm-hmm.
On the Facebook groups, of course. Super active.
For one thing...
I didn't do anything. I was at your wedding!
Yeah. You were at my wedding, and I moved.
Yes.
So I... My June was
your June pretty, was packed,
pretty booked. We did an escape room, which was pretty fun.
That was so cool. I want to do that again.
Yes, but I do have one thing that popped up over the course of the month that is now completed, which is the latest Mantic writing contest.
Oh yeah.
And so let me bring up the contestants thereof. And so we had three submissions this time, and
yours,
mine, The Calm, as it was
called. Which I love
called,
that.
Which is a fun little romp from an enforcer's perspective, checking out a situation involving some marauders on a transport ship, and shenanigans ensue. Maybe not in a fun, happy-go-lucky variety, but... Shenanigans, nonetheless.
Well, if they had a little bit of emotion, it probably would have been fun for the...
Maybe. For some people. The next one worth mentioning is The Storer's Bounty. That one was by Martin Blake.
Yep.
So, I don't know if you had a chance to read that one, Rick.
Not that one, but I read his first one.
Okay. This was a really fun one. It's it's very much at home in the Warpath universe, but we do get to encounter some things that we haven't seen before. That's, you know, don't necessarily exist yet, but not to say that they don't. It's about a guy basically staking his claim on a planet and the kind of maneuvering and stuff that he has to do in order to complete that task. So it's a very cool, just kind of a space explorer-y type story. And then the fantasy entry in this one was Bluderatu. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's from Arzua Crespo. He's another returning writer from the first contest. So this one, Rick, I think you would definitely like this. This is Basilian versus vampires.
Ooh.
Told from both perspectives.
Ooh.
Like a big... And
I like vampires.
And it's great because those two perspectives, you get the... Okay, this general knows that the vampire lord knows that there's a Basilian force out there waiting for them. And it's like, do we go this way? Do we go that way? And then you jump over to the Basilians and it's like, hey, there's a whole bunch of vampires and monsters attacking a village. We have to quickly get there to save them. And it's there's a great back and forth. You really don't know how it's going to end, and I'm not going to be the one that spoils it. So go out and read that story. And actually, I believe the polls are closed,
the
as they say.
Closed,
And it went. Bluratu took first place this time, with Storer's Bounty taking second, and the Calms taking third. But we're talking like there is a difference of one vote. Like,
really?
Between each one.
That's awesome.
So it was a very close race and well worth it because these stories were all excellent once again. And
I guess it's a little unfair because I get to read yours before it gets posted.
True.
So I'm a little biased on my vote. But so the next challenge.
Yes.
Is.
Damsel is the third quarter.
Okay.
Word of the day.
Word of the day. Word of the month.
As it were. So it's, there's a lot of definitions that Golden likes to include.
He
goes to the Webster's Dictionary and pulls it out. But he's also, it's very free form. Like, you, there's a broad interpretation that you can have.
Yeah.
That's what was fun about Monster, right?
I think that's why I liked yours so much, mm-hmm. is because it wasn't a plague lord. It wasn't a marauder per se. It wasn't a veerman, but it was
a monster nonetheless. there were many monsters.
Yes, it was the idea of monster.
Out in space, there be monsters.
In darkness.
But yeah, so definitely looking forward to the next quarter's challenge. I've got some ideas of my own that I'm kind of stirring around, trying to figure out. There's one that has been on my list for a while, and the only thing with it is how much I want to kind of weave it into. For those that don't know, my first quarter and my second story or quarter stories are connected.
Connected, yeah.
And so I'm just trying to figure out if I want to continue that and just how strongly I might want to.
I would love to be involved in this, but my writing sucks. But at the same time, if I just put it out there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is all about... we got people
it's having fun and doing the hobby.
It's having fun. They can be very short stories.
Yeah.
You can have a day in the life of a plague zombie, and
of course,
and
that's
he just
what I would
he
do.
Just kind
of
walks around, checks the local store, and then gets shot.
I don't think Golden really care for an I am Groot kind of story.
It's a damsel, a zombie damsel in this
zombie. Oh, Dr. Simmons could be the damsel.
She could.
Technically. Anyways.
Getting some ideas stirred. But
we'll see.
Yeah,
there is some time.
There's time.
Obviously, I can bounce ideas off of you.
Yeah, and I'm more than willing to, if you'd like,
the
help
crap out of it.
Yeah, you know, work with you, edit through.
Well, to be fair, I mean, my wife does have an English degree.
Yeah,
and it would be a way to get her to read sci-fi.
There you go.
Ooh.
See, always
tricky.
Always looking for ways to bring more people into this.
So speaking of bringing more people into our world, if you look through the Facebook groups for a good portion of June and July, a lot of people were getting kids involved.
Mm-hmm.
There were some siblings, there was some nephews, there was some sons and whatnot that were getting involved in the game. For myself, I was super excited about it. Because one of the things that happened in June was my nephew came down.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when my nephew comes down, he comes down for a week during camps and whatnot.
Sure.
My son and my nephew started playing some Dead Zone. And he just fell in love with it again.
Mm-hmm.
So then we jump ahead into July, and he gets to come down and see us again. And I was able to pick up a copy from your wedding.
Yeah,
at a store at your wedding.
That worked out so well.
I was able to get a copy of it fairly cheap for him, brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some of my painted models and my painted scenery and I switched it out.
Yeah.
And gave him a copy. And as you were getting here, we're coming downstairs and Levi goes, "Hey, he just picked up the Marauders and some scenery." So my nephew is getting huge into this. He's 14. I posted it on the MMC page, but I don't know if I did it on the Dead Zone Fanatics. But the dragons that I painted for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He painted Forge Fathers and matched the dragons. It was so cool. These are the first models he's painted.
That is awesome.
And that's kind of that whole getting the younger players into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need to get back into the stores.
Yeah.
And I've actually been talking to the store up in in Alma, that Adam has gone to a couple times because he's made some friends in that area. They're perfectly willing to have demos.
Okay.
So we'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
But that's pretty exciting. We have Dead Zone Revival coming.
Yep, Dead Zone Revival.
Thanks to Adam.
Is a new upcoming tournament in the Michigan area.
On August 7th, and it sounds like we have some out-of-state guests coming.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Daria, the Queen of Dead Zone.
The Queen of Dead Zone. And Elizabeth is coming
and
with
Elizabeth,
us.
And Elizabeth, yeah.
They'll both be there. I unfortunately will not, because I'll be working.
Yep.
But we got some Kings of War players.
Yep.
We've
converted a few.
Converted a few. Nick is huge into Kings of War around here. Like,
he's really good. His dice are just insane.
And they're not worse in Dead Zone. It sucks. but he'll be at the tournament.
That's excellent.
It'll be interesting to see because he'll be playing Astarians.
Well, it's interesting. So normally I play Rebs.
Yep.
And I like to represent them, but at the same time, my Rebs, the paint job I've done on them is like 4 years old now.
It's crazy how that feels, doesn't it?
From when I was just getting back into mini painting after almost a decade off.
Yeah.
So, on the other hand, I just painted up these really fun Striders in my Gundam theme. And I'm like, I kind of want to bring GCPS.
Do it.
And it's a 200-point tourney. So,
well, not only is it 200-point, but he's making sure that hacking is being involved.
Yes.
There will be items.
Items and hacking are going to be big components.
Yep.
And I know he's I believe his packet has been posted. If there is, I'll link to it in the show notes here. I know it was something that he's been kind of discussing.
His packet is posted. He hasn't posted what missions.
Okay.
But he has posted the packet of what can be taken and how big the list is. And as a reminder, bring a hacker.
Yeah. Bring a hacker. And so I was like, you know what? This is just like a GCPS list. I've got I can't just bring one Strider. I'm going to bring two.
Now, helpful hint, you're going into a tournament. Don't put them on the top.
Put them at the highest point.
Yes, Brian, put them at the highest point every time.
And so it's something where, you know, at 200 points, you've got a lot more.
You can take everything.
You can really take everything. And it's a little bit why we tend to like the 175, because there you can take a lot, but you still have to make some decisions.
You have to make some decisions, and you can't bring two Striders.
Right.
It's just not a thing.
Yeah.
But with 175 points, you have enough points where you can bring a Strider plus some strong stuff.
Yeah.
At 150, you're not doing that.
No.
Well, at 200, you're bringing literally whatever you want, which is why 200 is a great place for some players.
Yeah.
Because you have that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
People
have a lot of stuff that they want to get on the board. We're definitely not poo-pooing that.
You've been collecting for so long, mm-hmm. and you have all this stuff, and what better way to play than you play in a 200-point tournament where you can bring all the shiny.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to it. I think a double Strider list is going to be kind of unique in that setting. So I'm of no illusions that people will have some counters to that. But we'll see how it goes. It should be a fun time, if nothing else.
Well, and this might be preemptive, but I believe there will be a challenge for you.
Oh, yeah?
I believe Nick's going to challenge you.
Okay.
So by the time this releases, the challenge will be out there. Because Nick's only ever played you once in Kings of War. This entire time we've been playing games, he's only played you once.
Wow. I'm thinking back.
We're always on the losing end, so we always play against each other in Kings of War.
That is a very valid point. In a tournament setting, we never face off. Nick is a very, very good Kings of War player. I'm trying to remember. Did he place in the top half at Masters?
Yeah, he placed in the top half.
I know, it was like a late entry.
And it was one of those late, it was a late entry. And like, he was painting at 3 o'clock in the morning that night at Adepticon.
Because he didn't know if he was going to be able to make it. Yeah. It was kind of a Cinderella story. And he took home some prize. It was really impressive. He's a really fun guy.
Yeah. But he is going to be playing Asterians. And I believe he's bringing a double a Spectralist.
Perfect.
That's going to be fun to watch. I wish I could be there for that.
We'll take some pictures.
Oh, well, of course.
I'll try.
You better. So it's funny because on the other side of that,
mm-hmm.
One of our other friends of the show, Michael, he just got his new house.
Yes.
And I had the honor of playing Dead Zone with him at his house as the first game. And we played 150 points. And the big thing that it reminded me was how intense 150 points is.
Right?
Because if you lose a model, it's like, oh, crap.
Right.
Where do I go now?
I'm playing against Michael. So, a fun story about Michael is he was part of the first Dead Zone campaign that we played with a couple of other people.
All the stupid missile launchers.
and he found, like, he was new to the game, too.
Yeah, like, he was almost brand new. Like, he'd played a couple games with us before the end.
Yeah.
And then it was, let's do a campaign.
Yeah, and he found out this crazy good build of Enforcers with rocket launchers and
I think he had Defender Shield, too.
Something.
Yeah, it was something, but it was ridiculous.
It was a great,
and like none of us.
It was like solid, I think, was what he put on the guy. So basically, he couldn't get knocked down.
Yep. So park him up on top and just shoot at everything.
Yep. So
it was nuts.
Wicked combo there. For your own Dead Zone campaign, if you are taking heavy weapons, consider adding solid to that.
So he got it. So for this, he played Plague.
Yeah.
And I threw, he gave me a couple ideas of what he wanted me to bring, and I'm like, okay. So I threw a list together for him. It was really cool, because, like, we played, some mission with the ones on the side. Not Breakthrough.
Not Scour.
It's not Breakthrough, it's not Scour, it's not Scatter. It's
Search and Destroy?
Yeah, Search and Destroy.
Okay.
Where you have the 2-point objectives on both sides. And you're deployment zones in 2 and then 4.
Is that Divide and Conquer?
That makes more sense.
Yeah, because Search and Destroy was one of the first 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, Divide and Conquer
is the second set.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have that...
It's like the wedge.
Yeah, you have that wedge. So he put his Plague Lord in that front spot.
Mm.
So it's the first time I've ever seen a Plague Lord in combat round 2.
That's... Yeah?
Because I
it
was
just
trying...
usually doesn't happen with a 1-1 move.
It doesn't. He rolled his command dice, he got move dice on both turns. So he was able to do it, but it was because I thought I could get him
mm-hmm.
on the run with my 901.
Right.
Tricky. Because I gave him ghouls with HMGs, and I didn't even think about it. And he knocked 901 down, got his command dice, and moved in on me. And I'm like, oh, man! And of course, I've always loved Rampage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it's only failed on me a couple times, and it really didn't do anything.
Right.
It failed on me.
It failed on you?
And I never got him back.
Oh, no.
Like, the whole game, he was like, yeah, nope, he's out.
I'm just gonna sit here.
That's what he did! He's in the queue, but he's like, he's activated, I'm not gonna do anything. I'm like, come on, so I can do something.
Put me in coach.
But it was one of those super intense games where it was... The score was a couple points here and there, a couple points here and there. I hit 10, he went to 17. I was like, okay, it's over.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like, 150.
It's super intense, because it's like...
Your big, you know, your heavy
whatever
hitters...
Whatever nasty is, you have to protect
You have to take care of them, because...
And even your support guys.
Yeah.
If a support guy is taken out, you don't... Really,
even like, your chaff, really, like you're
not. There's not really much in 150 points that
you can be wasteful.
Throw away.
With. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even if you look at it from a horde perspective on 150, so you're gonna run a whole bunch of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You need X amount of zombies to make it work. At 150 points, you lose a couple of them, and he's like, "Oh crap! Now what do I do?"
Yeah.
Like so, I mean, you have that double side to that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and I think that's part of the reason why 175 has been so fun for us, because
yeah.
There's a couple models you can throw away. There's almost everything you want to bring, you can bring. So you get that nice combination.
Mm-hmm.
But I really hope that you guys have fun in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Because essentially by the time we release this, it'll actually be 1 week, so you've got everything painted?
Yes, I did just the other night of this recording. I got together. I basically had 4 more guys that I needed to paint up.
Nice.
I've been slowly building a collection of GCPS so that I can play firefight with them.
Yep.
So I've got much more of those guys put together, and now they're slowly making their way to my painting table.
So realistically, I think it's gonna be your GCPS either against Plague or Enforcers. Because that's really what I have. Absolutely, that's what I have the most of. Part of that's because I started with first edition. And
right.
I just kept getting it. I love the Plague.
Hey. It's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other 2 yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
So, yeah, that's definitely going to have to hit our table.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, some more Dead Zone, because we always play that. I would... And I mentioned it on their games, that Dead Zone, the podcast, needs to do the circuit.
Yes.
We need to play the 4 games. We need to do, and even if it's just the same way as them, just the 2 of us, mm-hmm. and go through that on our own teams, because, well, 1, I suck at the game, so you're not sitting here looking at 2 of the best coaches in North America.
Yeah, arguably. On the continent.
Like, regardless of how Andrew played in that game...
He's still...
There's a reason why he's on the rules committee.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a reason why he's so successful with it. in his area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're two of the best coaches, and I mean, we've seen it firsthand with Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
But and to see that switch to a good player and a not so good player, and to see how we play through mm-hmm. that whole process. I might have the advantage and hope that they take the videos down so you can't watch them so I can get some insight, because I did watch them.
I'm going to be linking to them in the show notes.
Okay.
Because our listeners want that content.
They want it.
And they want it at their fingertips.
What else?
So listeners, if you would like to write into the show and pick out a Dreadball team for Rick and I to play Ooh. As... That could be a fun way to do that.
I mean, obviously, it has to be a team I have.
Yeah, please. Well, I suppose it's hard for them to know. We have a lot of the regular team, we'll say. Like a lot, all the human teams we've got. Yep. Judwan, Sphere,
Zazors,
Khaleesi,
the Convicts, the Dwarves, the Convicts. Yep.
We have a lot of those core teams.
I'm trying to think of some of the teams that we don't have.
I don't have the pseudo. I don't have the Matsudan, actually.
I have the Matsudan.
You have the Matsudan?
I think between the two of us, I think actually we have almost all of them.
We've got a lot. I don't know if either of us have the chorus, the ones with the claws that look like they're out of Infinity War. You have the chorus?
I have them.
Okay. So, yeah, we probably have the teams, or we'll get them.
That's the other thing. Like, we'll get them.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be something really cool for us to do, and especially if our listeners throw out a list at us. Not a list. Sorry. Wrong
yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah.
Throw a team at us. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it would definitely challenge me, because I'm very fresh at Dreadball, and I'm not... Mm. Like, I'm just figuring out my 49ers.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it also throws the challenge out at you to not play the Rebs.
Yeah, I mean...
Down with the Rebs.
You're welcome to say the Rebs.
And Jeff, if you guys tell him to play the Rebs, I'm going to lose.
Even with one activation token per game. But yeah, so if no one really... Has a list that they think would be a good fit for either of us. I think I'll pick a team that I have not played as yet.
Yep.
And Rick, if you'd like to, or if you're welcome to play, to hone your skills.
I'm not going
to
play the Rebs. I can tell you this right now. Even if one of somebody says... I got them
painted.
Even if somebody says Rick should play the Rebs, I'm not playing the Rebs. I don't play them in Dead Zone. I don't play them... And Dreadball.
Technically, you have a Plague Revs list.
It's a Plague list. It might be that's still my favorite Strider.
No. It's so good. Never gets old.
So you have to be a specific type of player to play the Revs.
Yes.
In either Dreadball or Dead Zone.
Yes.
You have to be able to take that wide scope and focus it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not good at that.
I wouldn't say that I'm good at it either.
Really? Who won the last tournament in Michigan?
For Dead Zone? Yeah, I guess I did.
You did! With your Rebs!
I still haven't figured them out in Dreadball yet.
Well, you kicked my butt with them.
How many times did I miss that strike zone?
It doesn't matter. Like, you still beat me.
Like 4 or 5 times. He's right next to it and can't throw it in.
In almost 5 years of playing these games, that's the one that sticks with us every single time.
Just tap it in, Happy. Just tap it in.
And then definitely Firefight.
Yes.
Because it would be great to be able to... play more of the larger scale
mm-hmm.
With the vehicles and
yeah, absolutely.
Moving in units and stuff. I will always go to Dead Zone.
Yeah.
But we do. We need to encompass the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And eventually I would love to try Warpath. We never really got to that scale. We just didn't have the models for it at
really
the time.
Didn't.
When it was kind of really coming out with in that initial push.
And there has been, actually, there's been quite a bit of more action recently
on
the Warpath page.
Which is
and
great.
I think part of that is because of Jared, the Golden Gamer.
Yeah.
Pushing the stories, pushing that part of the hobby has brought out more people into the Warpath universe as a whole.
Yeah.
Plus the testing for Firefight.
Mm-hmm. Getting people geared up for it.
It's crazy. And then, of course, we will be playing Overdrive.
Yes.
In fact, I think I made mention to potentially a tournament in...
With 100 people, you said.
100 people!
But if we get 100 people at our tournament...
Rob said something.
He would maybe do something.
He didn't commit to
commit. But he said he'd consider it, which is about as strong as...
He's going to steal Ronnie's hat and send it to us. And then blame that on us.
Yeah.
There you go, 100 people. Thanks.
I mean, I'll accept it. He stole my hat once.
He did. That was the closest thing I've ever seen you to being partially upset. Because it was that hat.
It was this hat.
That's the Brian hat.
Ronnie, that's my hat.
It was so great.
Mantic night, the after hours.
The after hours, where Brian is literally the only sober person there.
Because everyone's been enjoying lots of water.
Lots of really messed up water.
it's been an exciting time in Mantic in general. I was thinking about it the other day with just all the stuff that's been coming out. Sometimes it's kind of a force from the trees kind of thing to just like, oh, we've had escalation for a while now. But you think about it, it's like the stuff that we've gotten since escalation has been like the Magnetar circuit. There's been a whole mess of stuff come for Kings of War. We've got the Firefight beta.
All of their stuff is like going and going and going. And it's really cool because you look at the slowdown that the pandemic did to a lot of companies.
Mm-hmm.
Mantic didn't really slow down.
Not
per se.
Yeah. I mean,
obviously, they didn't do events. They didn't readily release a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they were working in the backgrounds.
Yeah.
You could tell, when we interviewed Rob, he was tired. His day was done.
Yeah. It was also the end of his work day.
Yes.
So... but no, he, you can tell, there's that passion is still very much there for these games and for new ones to be coming out. It's really cool to see that from Mantic where they kind of have those, they kind of give members of their team that extra bandwidth to say, hey, all right, Rob, you have an idea, take a run with it, try it out. Let's see what happens. Andy,
Yeah. Actually part of Mantic.
No. He's
But yeah. It's like, here, Firefight. Okay.
Yeah. Let's make it happen.
It'll be interesting to see how it all turns out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun because we get to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And see it from our perspective, which is Dead Zone and Dreadball.
Yeah. And all sorts of great fun stuff coming out.
So it's funny because, we did the interview.
Yep.
A couple hours later, you show up and we're doing the podcast.
Yep.
All I want to do is go over there and pull out my models and start painting. It's that whole project, Kings of War project.
Yep.
Eh.
Told you.
It doesn't take much.
It's funny, not to tangent too much, but I've actually been kind of in that fantasy kick lately because just moved into...
You've been doing readings, too.
I've been doing a lot of reading. I just moved in to a new house, and got a space set up. So this is all news, actually, since the last time we recorded.
That's true, this is.
I moved... Unfortunately, we're farther away from each other than previous.
But we still get at least our one...
Yeah, we do get together at least once a month. And if nothing else, just to do this. And all sorts of other... fun craziness, but I now have a basement that has a really nice open space that
bunker number two
that we've got available for gaming. I don't know if I'm gonna get the 6-foot by 4-foot table. I'm every now and then I'll just like, hey, hon, it'll be great if we had a big table for no reason.
But remember, I mean, on my, we can put how many, we can do what, 3 Dead Zone matches on my table at one time.
This is true. Well, it's funny to me because like the tables that we have available, for kind of gaming is I've got a 2-foot by 4-foot, it's a 3-foot by 3-foot, and then a 3.5 by 3.5.
Now see, the 3.5 by 3.5 is really perfect for a lot of our games.
True, true.
Because obviously the Star Saga, Dreadball,
mm-hmm.
Dead Zone, Armada.
Yep. Well, actually, Armada is 4x6, or it's 4x3, I think.
Yeah, so, it's 4x3. So you can still play it on that size easily. Vanguard's 3x3.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of those games that you can play on that size table. But yeah. If you had a bigger table...
So the argument being, this is the rebuttal I get, and you know, and it's, to be fair, it's correct. I'm literally 10 minutes away from game stores in either direction. I'm right between Pandemonium and RIW Hobbies. Two of the biggest game stores. Those
are two of the biggest game stores in the Detroit area.
Yeah, in the Livonia area.
Livonia, Detroit.
They're literally, I go onto one street, yeah. I go up and it's there, or I go down and it's there.
Wow.
So.
That is a great argument.
And they have 4-foot by 6-foot tables.
That is a great argument, except for I can only get you once a month. If you had a 6x4 in your basement, that day I get you for the month could be at your house. Just say it.
Could be. Could be. but yeah, so I've got we've got a hobby space, like a nice little room about the size of yours here. That is our little hobby.
I need to clean mine up.
And I now have a 3D printer.
Yes.
So
which is super cool.
It's been fun. It was a wonderful gift from my family, and so I'm already starting to put together some of that isolation protocol.
Yep.
From Corvus Terrain.
I believe that's the name.
And yeah. I'll link to it in the show notes. They built like Dead Zone sets.
It's not like so. He built it with the intention of Dead Zone.
Yeah.
But it works for so many other games.
It really
does. He actually has some really good cyberpunk scenery.
Mm-hmm.
He has some good fantasy scenery. And actually, he's been working on some more, the larger scale game, like the 40K and stuff, scenery. But yes, it was built in that cube system. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to take apart and separate, because... That's what we used for our Dead Zone / Dreadball game, where we built that whole scene.
Which is funny, because I was going through my storage. I do have 2 first edition Dead Zone boards, or Dreadball boards.
They still work.
They still work. I'll have to carve one up into trim one up and do some Dead Zone squares on it. Because you never know when a fight might break out in a Dreadball match.
You never know. Those stinking reps.
We need to finish our campaign. We got stuff to
do. It's like 300 points, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 300. Well, it's 300 points for you, and I was going to be doing 150 and a 150.
Yeah, 150 points against my 300 points of plague.
John Jack here from Dreadball Commercials. You've seen me. You love me. You know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
Yeah, we'll get that campaign finished and it'll be a blast.
Yes.
And we'll get that all packaged up for you guys, because I know you want
really good at it.
Yeah. I mean, I've got them. Like, I've made the pages with the maps on them and the objectives and stuff. It's like ready to go, and you just need the last one put together and play.
The last one and play it. And unfortunately, today it's just a recording day.
Yeah, unfortunately, but we've had a lot of fun stuff going on.
It is, and as much as it's frustrating that we have this game, and we need to finish this, and we need to finish this. Please, Mantic, keep giving us more stuff.
Yes, yes. We will never say no.
Yeah.
Oh, but I didn't finish my basement. Thought. Talking about the basement moved in, but it was also that I started reading a little bit later, The Edge of the Abyss from Windhazar Publishing. So this book came out, so for those that don't know, Kings of War had a global event that was the Edge of the Abyss. And it was basically the Abyss, which is kind of this infernal plane, was busting through into reality. And so it was this giant, international campaign that people would, the results of the games were going to have a direct impact, much like the Dead Zone campaign that happened a couple years back. And so Edge of the Abyss book from Windhazar Publishing was a bunch of little short stories set just as those events were taking place. And so it's been really fun, and I've kind of been on that fantasy kick a little bit because, like, the stories in there are really good, and it is one of those things, like, I feel bad that it took me so long to get around to reading some of them because it's really good fiction. And very much sets you in that space.
Yeah.
Because
you were telling me about some of the stories, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I should probably read this too.
Like, I just finished reading one called Emerald Eyes, which was about humans that hire ogre mercenaries.
Yeah.
In the help against some orcs and some abyssals, and shenanigans ensue as they do. So, and that's just how I describe when things go terribly, horribly wrong.
It's shenanigans.
Shenanigans. If you find yourself in that fantasy kick, go read some of that.
Read those books. Go check them out. Yeah,
the books that have come out from Mantic have been consistently very good.
Yeah, and it's funny that. So at this point, we're generally wrapping up, but it brings up something that's very important that I've heard constantly. When you're comparing worlds,
mm-hmm.
everybody over in the 40K universe, Games Workshop, they have this huge world. Yep. They have how many years on us?
Yeah.
What, 20, 30 years to build this up?
Going on,
I'm gonna say
40
it's,
soon.
Yeah, it's actually like 40, but that's the thing, like, what Mantic's doing with getting us involved mm-hmm. as the players and creating this universe and doing these world campaigns, I think that's more entertaining myself. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because I'm a fanboy for Mantic, but it's really because we're actually being a part of it.
Yeah.
We played in the Abyss
mm-hmm.
campaign. We played that.
We didn't do well, but we played in it. Nonetheless, we did it.
The Dead Zone.
The Dead Zone campaign.
We played in that. So we actually got to be a part of this that created these stories. And now they're starting to flesh out and build more. And like,
I remember the Dead Zone campaign.
That was nuts. Fighting, I loved it.
Fighting so hard. Like, and we are watching the statistics too come in where it's like, okay, who's holding this sector?
Who
right
has
now?
It? Yeah.
And for the while, the Rems were
of course you're pretty high up there.
I'm just saying.
You're always just saying the Rems.
But no, it's something too. I know in our interview with Rob, I think he hit on a point that I really resonated with me, which is like both Warpath and Panathor, like the worlds feel very much alive, and vibrant.
You really could see yourself as a regular Joe in the first sphere,
or the second sphere, or maybe slowly dying in the third
sphere. Dying in the third sphere.
Or dying horribly in the fourth sphere.
But yeah, I mean, it's a world.
Yeah.
And I love that they're creating this world. And the regular players are actually going to be able to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And they are through the Facebook Fanatic sites, through the short stories,
mm-hmm.
which is huge.
Yeah.
And plus, when Desar's addition to those stories and everything, it's really fun. Rob mentioned about a short piece being in the Overdrive book.
Yeah.
So they keep doing this stuff and building up these universes. Who cares that they got 40 years on us? We're having fun in our own world, and we're mm-hmm. being a part of it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I love about what we do and where things are right now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get off my box now.
But no, it's oh, as always, it's a fun time to be in the hobby.
It is.
There's some really, really cool things that are coming down the pipe. Overdrive looks to be exciting. And like we said in that interview, a big thing with that is something I kind of had that experience too, playing a lot of Dreadball. I'm like,
yeah.
This doesn't quite feel like a Dreadball game. And it's because it's not. It's
it's not.
It's very much its own thing. And, you know, try it out and see if you like it, because it sounds like a blast.
We'll be playing plenty.
Yeah, we'll get plenty of games in.
All right, I think that wraps us up for today. Oh,
one more thing.
One more.
So we mentioned before we have the Dead Zone Revival
event. Oh, yeah, duh, huge.
But we also have the Michigan GT
coming up in October.
In October, so October 8th through the 10th.
Yep.
As we, I believe we mentioned this in our last episode, maybe.
Yeah, I think we did.
Because we had just kind of gotten the...
official with Dreadball.
Yes. So, we are going to have a Dead Zone.
150-point Dead Zone, Friday night at 6 p.m.
Yep.
And then Saturday evening, Dreadball League of the Night by you.
Yep.
And then, of course, Kings of War has a big two-day, Saturday and Sunday. And Blake and Michael Carter are running that.
Yes.
And I believe we will have Mantic present.
Yes.
With the booth. Pat will be over here with the booth, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We're super excited
yes.
that John Jack will be there to play yes. with us. And not to run stuff, but to play in Dreadball, which yes. I know he's stoked about that.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully we'll have Overdrive there
mm-hmm.
For me to be able to demo some of it. Because unfortunately, because of work schedule, I'll be able to run Dead Zone, but I won't be able to play in anything else.
Ah, that's too bad.
But I'll be there and be around, so hopefully I can get some Overdrive going there,
Rick
too.
The demo guy. Sometimes that's how it goes.
It's what we do.
But honestly, that's a great spot for you, because you're going to have people milling about the place
yeah.
in between their games, and it'll be Rick going, hey, check this out! And we're gonna have our.
Because I get a little excited.
Yeah, a little excited. Yeah, we'll have some stuff going on.
Yeah, so. And speaking of that, so next month we will actually have another interview.
Yes,
we will be interviewing Jeff from the Michigan GT group.
Yeah,
he will come on with us actually right after the Dead Zone tournament.
Right after the Dead Zone tournament, we're gonna be recording that.
We'll be recording with him and find out about the Michigan GT and how it became and.
Yeah.
And luckily enough to have us involved in it now.
Yes.
So that'll be actually, so that was like two things, but.
It was a couple of things.
It's all
one big happy family.
See, that's what happens when I try to wrap us up. There's always something that I forget. So I'm going to let you wrap us up
okay.
this time.
Well, I'm just going to go through my notes real quick. And yep, I think we're all good there.
We made it.
We made it.
Because that's how it always works.
But no, thank you guys for listening and checking out the show once again. You can find us on
Twitter at Dead Zone Podcast, on Instagram, on Podbean, of course, because that's
yep.
where we release on. Of course, we're on Facebook. We've been humming and hawing, but we have a Twitch account. That we need to get some live games on.
We do.
But check us out on all of the social media fun. And of course, if there's somewhere that you don't see us that you'd like to see us, give us a shout. We'll see what we can do. And of course, you can always email us as well
at yes.
deadzonepodcast at gmail.com, right?
Yes.
Did I do it right?
Deadzonepodcast@gmail.com.
Yay! I did it right.
You did it! So next time it'll be my turn to do the list. Well, maybe we just keep alternating.
Go back and forth and one of us will forget something.
Because why would we pre-record that piece and just paste it in every time? We have to do it fresh every single time. Because that way we'll...
Because we do it.
And we'll remember it better that way, right?
And it's also the reminder for us to go check our email.
To be fair, it forwards to you. It doesn't forward to me.
Yeah, which is so funny. So it forwards to me, but my phone won't let me log into the email.
Because the phone is
it's connected to yours. So when I go, I get the forwards, and I open them up, and I can see them. It's like, but I can't do anything with them.
So what I'm hearing is maybe we should forward them to me.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. But have a great night, everybody.
Yeah. Play more games and roll some D8s.
Yes.
I don't think we could ever have a silent moment.
No. Why would we do that unless it was for a very somber moment? I love these tokens though. Should have mentioned on the show that we're making some custom tokens for some of these events.